Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. For those that are visiting with us, we're thankful that you have set the priority to come to worship the Lord today. I couldn't help but think about no tears in heaven, but a lot of tears on this earth. With, as Mike mentioned in his prayer, the tornadoes, storms that went through just north of us, we, of course, have experienced that ourselves in our past and know the devastation and the tears that can come from that. If anyone happens to know of any brethren that are suffering directly because of that, please let us know. We'd like to help out as we can. And, of course, there are opportunities for us to be supportive of those who lost so much. When you think of 2021, what comes to mind? I mean, to me, I have kind of had a hard time having a definition of 2021 because it seems like 2020 hasn't stopped yet. But 2021, what does it bring to mind? Now, you might say this might be a little bit early for a review of 2021, but I'm not going to preach the next 2 weeks. And so this is my last chance in 2021. You might say 2021 is the year of no vacations, or at least vacations that you keep putting off until you have no more time left. So that's the reason why I'm not going to preach the next two Sundays. Plus, my son, Todd, is getting married this coming Saturday, and next Sunday we'll have two new grandchildren with us at services. So, 2021. And we're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about crime in the streets. We're not going to talk about COVID. Because those things don't define us. And we've tried to make a deliberate attempt to, although we want to be safe, we want to be defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to be defined by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have work to do as a church and as individuals. So what has 2021 been like? We have had as our theme, let each esteem others better than himself. It is from the couple of verses, the context of Philippians chapter 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. This affects all of our relationships. It affects all of our lives. So let's think through just a little bit of 2021 and see how this attitude has exemplified us, has changed us, has transformed us in ways. In some ways, even though the word love is not found in these verses, it seems to me that this is a tremendous definition of love for us. Thinking to do best for others rather than self. So let's go through some of the numbers of this last year, and then we'll switch back to this theme. But even as we go through the numbers, they are going to be affected by the theme that we have had this last year. As far as our membership changes, we had 23 members move away. That is 10 who have moved to other places, 13 who have moved their membership. We have also, unfortunately, experienced 4 deaths this last year. We have had 21 to join us. 17 from other places who have moved here, 4 who have moved their membership. And we have, and we rejoice, that we have had 6 baptisms in 2021. Now, in comparison to other years, that's a lot of volume. For example, in 2020, we had 6 to leave, 2 who died. We had 12 that were added with 3 baptisms. In 2019, we had 10 to leave, 2 who died, 7 to join us, and 6 who were baptized. In 2018, we had 3 who died, 28 to leave us, 11 to join us, 5 who were baptized. In 2017, we had 1 who died, 10 who moved their membership, 13 who joined us, and 1 who was baptized. So 2021, as far as volume, the amount coming in and going out, was really quite dramatic, quite a lot. Our correspondence courses, we had 2,068 lesson ones sent to first-time students, that is, of our mail-in correspondence courses. Now, obviously, there are many more than just lesson one that is sent out. There is about an 85% drop-off of those who ask for number one and those who actually go on to number 2 and 3. But those who go on, many of those, will not only complete the initial course, the basic course, but will go on to some of the other courses of Acts and Romans and Revelation and of the church. Of the online, and this is a little bit different calculation, but we had 2,030 total lessons and 416 new students, and altogether we have 537 total students, those who are involved with taking the Bible studies online. Now, obviously, this represents a lot of different places other than Huntsville, Alabama, but it is a tremendous tool that we can use, the internet, in order to reach others with the gospel story, with the Bible. The number of graders within our congregation, we have 21 who are actively involved in grading for the mail-out courses, and we have 8 who are actively involved with the online courses. Interesting kind of chart. This is a heat chart representing the mail-in courses, where the majority are coming from. The darker shades of blue are the ones, I guess, where the greatest number of students have come. So it's interesting. Most apparently have come from Texas, from North Carolina, and Georgia, and from California. I would imagine if we put the online, most, I believe, would be coming from Africa. Most would be from other places in the world. But that is a tremendous opportunity for us to not think of ourselves, our own interests, but also to the interest of others, to esteem others better than ourselves, to take the time. A lot of time is spent. People doing these, grading these, corresponding, and when those who are interested in following up with the local congregation, we have had opportunities in this last year to find churches for these people to begin to associate with, to have contact with. Our Bible classes continue to be, in 2021, we have through the nursery, through the high school, we have 8 classes. Usually they're taught by 2 different teachers. So that is 16 teachers per quarter, plus the helpers and all of the students. So if we have 4 quarters, that's a total of 64 teachers. Now, actually, we don't have 64. We don't have one individual teaching one quarter and none others. We've actually, in this last year, 2021, had several who have taught several quarters, particularly in the young class. And we really appreciate the effort that is put in by those who have done that, particularly those of the women. And we studied a great deal in all the way from the divided kingdom, the Gospels, the Acts, and all the way through the epistles with the children in this year of 2021. The adult classes, quarter 1 and 2, I had to really think about this. We were just in the auditorium. We weren't divided up into classes at that time. And there were about 19 or 20 men who volunteered to teach those classes, each of those quarters. Some men had not taught an adult class until they taught that in the auditorium class. So there's a great deal of effort that was put in teaching those classes. And then in quarter 3 and 4, we went back to divided classes. So we had a total of 6 classes, 3 Sunday morning, 3 Wednesday evening. So that's 12 teachers. And of course, all of the students who have contributed to that as well, of making that a positive opportunity for us to be edified and to grow. The groups have continued, with the five groups being involved with everything from writing cards and letters to those who are sick or to those who have visited, to sending food to those who are in need, to opening up homes for hospitality to get to know each other a little bit more. We had five groups with five leaders, of course, and all of those who participated. In the leadership, there has been changes in 2021. The year began with two elders, and it was increased to three elders in the beginning of the year. And also toward the beginning of the year, we went from seven deacons to now we have 16 deacons. Really appreciate all of good work that those deacons have put into the new responsibilities for some and continuing responsibilities for others. The good work that's being done by those who are deacons, and but not just the deacons, all those who have contributed to the work here. In preaching, we've started something a little bit different in the springtime. We have, I called them the plus four, four young men who have, or middle-aged men, who have decided that they want to really concentrate on developing themselves in their preaching skills. And so since we have three Sunday evenings per month, we've dedicated those to a kind of a rotation of those four guys in preaching the gospel besides the regular preacher. And to go through all of the things that have been done this last year would take a about a year to accomplish, with all of the Bible study that is done for the class by the students, the good comments that are made to contribute to that, to the visits that are made, to the phone calls that are made, to the encouragement that is given, to the warnings that are given to one another, all of the various things that are done by individuals here in order to make this congregation thrive as a congregation and as individuals. Much, much has been done in 2021. And it really focuses in on this concept of let each esteem others better than himself. If we are going to thrive as a congregation, it is not going to be focused on self. It is going to be focused on others and reaching out and being sure that we are giving to others what is necessary. If you would open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians, and we will highlight once again this context in which this is found. This is in Philippians chapter 3, chapter 2 and verse 3. But Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians. His primary motivation was to say thank you. They were a group of people who were thinking of him and sacrificing financially to send him a gift so that he could continue. He was in prison at this time, having a very difficult time, and the brethren reached out to him and were kind to him. And so he responds with this letter. And this church at Philippi seemed to have been a strong group of Christians, a loving group of Christians. And he wanted them to continue to thrive in that, continue to grow in that. But there also seemed to be, obviously, the Holy Spirit writing through the Apostle Paul seeing things very clearly, what was going on at Philippi. There seemed to be a little bit of worry about the cohesion among the group. And so he writes things in chapter 1 and verse 27, like, only let your conduct, this is chapter 1 and verse 27 of Philippians, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That is a tremendous summary, isn't it, of what God wants in all congregations of his people, to strive together, to work together for the faith of the gospel. And for us to do that, it's necessary for us to have these ones, this one spirit, this one mind, this united. And in fact, Paul says, as we continue in chapter 2, that he wanted them, in verse 2, fulfill my joy. If Paul's joy, which was great toward the congregation and the work that they were doing, to be made full, it was going to be necessary for them to be like-minded, having the same love, of one accord, of one mind. This theme of unity and the joy that it brings as a fruit is a focus of the Apostle Paul on this. And therefore, the needed attitude of everyone within the congregation is to let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This is a continuing attitude that must be present in each in order for us as a whole to have unity and to strive together for the faith of the gospel. And he brings up examples in verse 5 of Jesus Christ, who had exactly this attitude, exemplifying this attitude in his life. And he brings up the attitude, or this same attitude or example, in verse 17 of himself, who also had this attitude of mind. He brings up in verse 19 the example of Timothy, who had exactly this attitude. He brings up the example in verse 25 of Epaphroditus, who had this attitude of mind where he was thinking of others, esteeming them better than himself, not looking only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So that has been the basis of our theme of this year. So think about it. How has this year been changed because of this focus? More precisely, how has your life been changed because of this focus? You know, it's not this command of the Lord, the command of the Lord. This is a command of the Lord. It's not a light switch that you turn on and off. It's a growth process, is it not? Where we are on a scale of 1 to 1,000. And we will never reach the 1,000. Jesus was there, and he gives us this example. But it is our job to grow in the implementation, to putting into our lives this concept, this attitude, so that, you know, as you do things, as you think things, first of all, you think about them consciously. And I don't know if you, during this last year, I hope that consciously this verse came into your mind. You know, I asked yesterday in the daily Bible reading for maybe some examples of how it changed your life. And I thought about some things that I might write and how it changed my life, but then I thought, well, I'd be kind of tooting my own horn, wouldn't I? Because you think about this, and you're going to make good choices. You're going to do good things. And so rather than tooting my horn, I didn't write anything. I appreciate the comments that were made kind of generally for how this has changed and can change our lives. But I hope it's changed your life. I hope that consciously this year, this attitude of mind has come into your mind and it's changed the way that you have made decisions and you've done things with this as a basis that you might not have done otherwise. You know, it begins with conscious thinking about it, but in time, what you think about consciously becomes subconscious, does it not? It's still there. It's still affecting. It's still changing. It's still moving us in certain ways, but we're not necessarily bringing it up out in our mind and saying it within ourselves or saying it out loud. And really, isn't that what it means to be led by the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God has given us commandments. The Spirit of God has given us instruction. And those instructions we internalize so that when we face decisions in life, that those are consciously used to make decisions, to change things in our lives, but also, and even more significantly, so that it becomes second nature to us. It becomes a new nature to us, or maybe a more correct term, it would become our nature. It would become who we are. This concept, a basic concept of esteeming others better than ourselves. Think through this year and think about how much we've thought about it and how much it's changed who we are. You know, you think about our classes. Obviously, not all of our classes were focused specifically on this concept, but at the same time, we tried to come up with classes that would complement this. Craig Lawson and I taught a class on the Sunday morning sessions on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And although the context of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John has to do with false teachers, the Gnostics, and combating that and the way that you're supposed to live, walk in the light as he is in the light and keep his commandments and do righteousness and all of the things that John wants us to do, one of the main themes in the letters is love one another. And that's what our theme is. Love one another and demonstrate that love, not just with words, but with actions. And Christians in a secular age, Jeff Donovan and Jeff Kaysen were able to teach that, and it brought up a lot of challenges to what's going on in our culture, in morality and belief systems of that are in conflict to the Word of God. But this theme as well affects that, because we are to be lights in this world. We are to brilliantly shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only way for us to do that is for us to not put ourselves first, but others first, and particularly God first, to esteem Him greater than ourselves and His ideas greater than our ideas. We also looked at the story of Jerusalem. Neil Kendrick and Kyle Adams looked at the history of this city of Jerusalem. In the PM classes, we also had classes, for example, God's Pattern for Christian Living. Patrick Price and Daniel Barnes looked at it and examined the various relationships that we find in our lives. And I'm sure that in those classes, that was not a class that I was able to sit in on. I did hear Patrick last Wednesday night when I was at home not feeling so well talk about raising children. And really, you can't talk about raising children. You can't talk about marriage. You can't talk about society. You can't talk about your relationship with the government. You can't talk about your relationship with your brethren without this being a basic underwriting principle of not thinking about yourself all the time, but thinking about others, esteeming their needs greater than your own. And also, of whom the world was not worthy. David Griffin and Tim Tyson and also Billy Bradford taught, talking about the faith of those in the Old Testament and those in the New Testament, and how they exemplified what we are to have in our own lives. And that faith, that trust in God, is certainly undergirded with this attitude of mind of not being egotistical, not being self-centered, not being narcissistic, but being giving and humble and esteeming others greater than oneself. We also had a lot of sermons this last year, and not everyone was specifically on this theme, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, but I'll mention just a few to bring up to your memory some emphasis that we have placed on this, a variety of ways that we could approach this. We talked about the fact that Christianity is a life of sacrifice. For us to have this concept of thinking about others' interest, not just our own, that is, to esteem others greater than ourselves, it's a basic definition of self-sacrifice. It's a basic definition of doing to God, giving to God ourselves, giving to God the very best of what we could do. And we talked about the different ways. One of the points was different ways that we make sacrifices. We have spiritual sacrifices. We have sacrifice of praise. We have financial support that is a sacrifice. We present our bodies as living sacrifice. All of those are ways that we say to God, God, I esteem your ways greater than mine, and therefore I'm willing to sacrifice, not the sacrifice of our physical flesh, but the sacrifice of who we are. We put that on the altar, and we offer it up as a sacrifice unto God. It is a very basic definition of our relationship with our God. We also emphasized this concept of empathy, not just sympathizing with others, feeling sorry when others are suffering, and certainly not being apathetic, not having feeling for others, but empathetic. That is, seeking to walk in the shoes of another, seeking to understand who they are and what their needs are, what their interests are first, rather than our own first, and doing so in a way that is that we can fulfill the love that God wants us to have toward others, being empathetic toward others. And obviously, one of the points we made was Jesus is certainly an example, a high example of Him being empathetic with us, coming to this earth and dying for our sins so that we might be better. And we also, in a couple of lessons, talked about the golden rule. We don't follow the iron rule, which means my way is best, and if you get in my way, I'm going to tread all over you. Or even the silver rule that says, well, my way is good, your way is good, and so let's both get along, and I won't tread on you, you don't tread on me, you don't hurt me, I don't hurt you. No, the golden rule is that we do unto others as we would have others do unto us. And the only way to do that is to have the attitude of mind that we esteem others higher than ourselves, that we look to their best interests rather than to our own interests. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 27. And we're just going to read through some of these verses through chapter 2 and verse 11. And as we do, hear these words once again. Obviously, 2021 is going to come to an end, and we're going to have a new theme in 2022. It's going to be a very good one. Can't tell you what it is quite yet, although probably most of you already know what it is. Let us build is where we're going to go. But for the last time in 2021, I'd like for us to hear what the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said to the church at Philippi and says to the church at Jordan Park. Hear what he says. Examine who you are. And let this word change where you are in your life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. And again, as we read through this, the you, the concept of you, obviously was to the Philippians, but I hope you hear the you as it applies to you personally. Chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, and there is, if any comfort of love, and there is, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, if any affection and mercy, and there is, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. How are we going to do that? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. I think we could say that Jesus did nothing through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, he esteemed others better than himself. He looked not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. But we continue in verse 8. Who being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And then we have what God's response is. You see, we look to others' interests. We esteem others. We humble ourselves. We put everyone else above ourselves. But God is the one who exalts. That's not our job. We're not in the job of exalting ourselves. We're not in the job of making sure that we get our due. It'll come. God will give it to us, just like he did to Jesus. We continue there in verse 9. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May 2021 be a significant step in our growth of maturity to be more like Jesus. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to consider coming to the Lord. You know, I think in the world, people recognize the value of this attitude, to put others above yourself. We see that exemplified with people who don't believe in God at all, or those who believe in different false gods. They have this same concept as being very important. But isn't it valuable to us that we are not only taught this, but we're shown it in an absolute way by Jesus Christ? He came to this earth and put your interests above his own, to the point that he died on the cross for your sins. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. For you to do so, you're going to need to crucify yourself and live unto Christ. You need to believe that he's the Son of God. You need to be willing to change your life in harmony with his will, confess his name, and be baptized. That is the transition point where you come in contact with that blood, and when you are born again, and when you have the opportunity to walk in newness of life. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. If you are one, and for some reason have turned your back on the Lord, we'd encourage you to come back while we stand and sing.